Blog Talk Radio.
This is Busted Pencils Radio. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Jed Hopkins. Now, let's bust some pencils.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. That is Jed. Today, yes. It's Monday, May 4th. It's a special episode. Now, Jed.
Yeah.
I want you to sit for a second and listen because I got a surprise for you. All right.
Uh-oh.
And for the audience, check this out. All right. Jed, name that tune.
Purple Haze.
Purple Haze by?
Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix.
The late great.
Why am I playing Jimi Hendrix, yeah. Purple Haze?
Yeah, we're doing a radio show.
So we've switched to music and we're not doing education talk anymore. No, the answer is our special guest today, Jesse Hagopian, teacher from Garfield High School. Trivia fact for those of you who are interested and like this stuff, Jimi Hendrix also attended the Garfield High School in Seattle, where Jesse Hagopian is a teacher.
Cool.
Where 3 years ago, Jesse Hagopian led the MAP boycott, where 100% of the teachers in Garfield High School refused to give the MAP. Jesse Hagopian, who's traveling the states right now, giving a book tour with more than a score. That's the Jesse Hagopian we're going to be meeting and talking to today on Busted Pencils, Jed. So
fantastic.
I said, why not a little bit of Hendrix?
Yeah.
You know, a little tribute to Garfield.
I think Jimmy would be proud of what he's up to.
I think he would be proud, too. But, you know, the other thing is, and I think I've got Mr. Hagopian on the line, correct? Hello, Jesse. How are you? Oh, getting a bad connection with you, Jesse.
Can you try again, Jesse?
Sound like, say, listening to you, you sound like you're scuba diving, which I assume you're not. Let's how about you give me a call, give me one chance and call me back in, or call back in a second, so I'm going to let you go. Maybe we'll get a better connection.
Okay. You get that, Jesse?
So, right. Jed, we're gonna let Jesse give a call back in. I mean, sometimes these things happen, technical difficulties. It's a live show. We're asking people on their own time to give us a call, see when they can come in. But, Jesse, more than a score. The other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, I got a chance to, I've spent some time, I've met Jesse at different activist things, gone out to Seattle to see him. Mm-hmm. But this past weekend really got a chance to listen to this new message that we want to talk about today with him at the Network for Public Education's conference in Chicago. Jesse was there talking about more than a score, and this whole idea, Jesse, is this a better connection?
It is. I can hear you now. That's wonderful.
Oh, there you go, man. Super. That
you had us
right
on.
Yeah, we thought you were scuba diving, man.
Quit scuba diving.
All right, so Jesse, I don't know if you heard all of the amazing, wonderful things I said about you as I introduced you and brought you in, but you know, we want to jump right into it. You know, I talked about your activism. You're walking around, or you're touring the. You're not walking the country, but you're touring the country promoting more than a score. But the big issue that I think that, you know, we really wanted to get you on, because you pushed it with a press release and a press conference in Seattle a few weeks ago. You went over it in a presentation in Chicago at the Network for Public Education, and today on Busted Pencils, I want you to give the listeners, but you're making the connection here to say that the Black Lives Matter movement, and, quote, the opt-out movement belong together. Is that, first of all, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. It's great to be on Busted Pencils here with you guys. And, you know, we did call a press conference a couple weeks ago to announce that Seattle had the largest number of opt-outs in our city's history, and to go through the many egregious problems with the new Common Core SBAC testing. But really, I think the power of that press conference lay in the fact that it was held at the Seattle King County NAACP's office, and that the president of the chapter began the press conference by saying that, of course, we want accountability in schools, but that accountability should start with politicians being accountable to communities for fully funding our schools. And we're in a state where the state Supreme Court has ruled that the legislature is breaking the Constitution with regard to education funding. And he also directly called on parents to opt their children out of the Common Core testing, and said that he believed the Black Lives Matter movement and the opt-out movement needed to join forces. And this is something that I've been really excited about and working around the country to try to forge those connections, because I think you can see how, you know, high-stakes standardized testing has been sold to us as the key to closing the achievement gap. It's been sold to communities as we're going to document the opportunity gap around the country with these tests, and then that will reveal the inequality that needs to be fixed. But you can see that this policy has been in place for some 13 years under No Child Left Behind, and schools and communities serving people of color are not improving. And
yeah,
in
right.
fact, these scores, you know, these scores are being used to punish. They're not being used
yeah.
to uplift or help. You look at Chicago. They label the schools failing, and then they close 50 schools in the black and brown neighborhoods. Look at Philadelphia, same routine. Look at Detroit. They did it right here in my own city. And so we know that what they're – the testocracy, as I call them in the book, more than a score, you know, they are hell-bent on reducing the intellectual and emotional process of teaching and learning to a single number that they can use to close schools and then privatize them with charters, that they can use to deny kids graduation, that they can use to bust up teachers' unions and attack teachers. And it's none of this is helping the black community. And so when we, you know, I've also been in the streets chanting Black Lives Matter for police accountability. You may have seen I was even pepper sprayed on Martin Luther King Day while on the phone with my mom. You know, and so when we chant Black Lives Matter, we're not just saying we want accountability for police who are running rampant over our communities. We're also saying that we want a life worth living. And part of that is a robust education that teaches us the truth about institutional racism in this country and empowers kids to solve that. And, you know, that's not the agenda of the Pearson Testing Company. If ending police brutality was on the test, I'd be the first one handing out the number two pencils. But in fact, we know that these tests are being used to rank, sort, label, and punish our students today. And I'll just wrap that up by saying that there's a really important study that came out of Boston University not too long ago that shows that the number one outcome of high-stakes exit exams for high school graduation is increased incarceration rates. And that's in a peer-reviewed journal, right? That is now been shown with hard evidence, something that teachers have known for a long time. And the fact that Arnie Duncan and the rest of the testocracy is completely silent on the fact that these tests are one of the strongest components of the school-to-prison pipeline is just outrageous.
It's outrageous, and just a reminder, you are listening to Tim and Jed on Busted Pencils Radio. We are talking to Jesse Agopian. Jesse, you're making some of the strongest points that I was hoping you would make. But Jed had a question for you. So, Jed?
Yeah, well, you know...
Absolutely.
I don't know who it was that said history is too often the story of the past told by the victors. And, you know, testing has a past. It has a history. I appreciate your work, Jesse, because it's like you're wanting to say, you know, let's think about that history. Let's hear the history of testing told from the perspective of those who have systematically been made to lose by it. We need to educate
That's right.
the country about this. So do you want to say a little bit more about that history of testing?
Absolutely, because once you know the history of where high-stakes standardized testing came from, you will never again believe the outrageous lie that these tests are the key closing the achievement gap in the United States. In fact, they were designed to show a, quote, mental ability gap in the early 1900s by open eugenicists, right? Eugenics was this really faulty pseudoscience that proposed to be able to demonstrate the intellectual gap between the white people on the top and black people on the bottom. And not just that, but eugenics was about ranking and sorting on all different levels. So it was to show that wealthy white men were smarter than women. This fake science purported to prove that, native-born were smarter than immigrants, and that the Nordic white people were smarter than the Mediterranean white people. Mm. And it was this really racist garbage that drove a man named Carl Brigham. He was at Princeton when World War I broke out, and he joined the army to develop the IQ testing that would separate the grunt soldiers from the officers. And when he was done with that IQ test experiment in the army, when the war was over, he went back to Princeton and used what he'd learned there to create the SAT exam. And he wrote one of the most respected books at the time in eugenics called A Study in American Intelligence. And he wrote at length about how the mixing of the races is going to dilute American public education. And so it was at this time that standardized testing really exploded in the public school system. And there was, by 1920, some 2 million standardized exams being administered in the public schools, and mostly at the behest of eugenicists that were determined to prove white supremacy. And
but Jesse, what happens when somebody...
That ugly history needs to be revealed.
It's a horrible, ugly history, but, you know, here's the comment that somebody's going to come back, and I'm sure you've heard this on the road. Jesse, we're not talking about the eugenics-developed standardized tests of the 1900s anymore. We're talking about precise scientific objects now that are neutral, man. These aren't the same tests. And so how do you respond?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is reclaim the history of those that opposed the tests, because the first testifiers or test resistors were black intellectuals at the time that organized and debunked the myth of these pseudoscientific standardized exams. And the observation that they made back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s are so pertinent to the debate today. So, you know, one of the most outspoken critics of these exams was W.E.B. Du Bois, the founder of, one of the founders of the NAACP, and one of the most important black intellectuals in U.S. history. And he talked about how these tests were being used to rank and sort. And another important black intellectual, Horace Mann Bond, wrote eloquently in Intelligence Tests and Propaganda about how what these tests really measured were students' access to resources, not their intelligence. And that is the exact same observation that researchers in universities all across the country have concluded again today. You know, the stability of the test scores from the early 1900s to this very day should reveal a lot to you about what these tests are designed to do. They have always put the wealthier people at the top, and they've always put lower income and people of color at the bottom from then until this day. And they've always been a better measure of your wealth than they have been of your intellect. And I think that basic truth that civil rights crusaders and black intellectuals at the time that these tests were being invented by eugenicists needs to be revived. You know, there's a lot of glitz and glamour around the new computerized exams. How could they have anything to do with, you know, those old Scantron sheet tests? Because now we're in the 21st century and they're computer adaptive. And yet it's amazing to see that we're still using the same ABCD bubble tests that are, sorting our society. And one last point on that, I would ask people to look at how standardized tests are created, right? And one of the important factors in how they're made is that they embed sample questions into the tests that students are taking as possible test questions for future exams that they will put together. And if too many students get a specific test question right, they abandon that test question, right? They say it was invalid, right? So why would a certain test question get higher scores? Well, because more low-income and more students of color score well on that sample test question, and then it's thrown out as being invalid. I think that we need to completely redefine what the purpose of school is and what knowledge is, because I don't believe that knowledge or wisdom is the ability to eliminate wrong answer choices.
Yeah, you know, and this is where we start moving into the opt-out here, and we're saying, you know, look, we're opting out of this, and I'm glad you put that straight for people. I had to ask the question. I know the answer, too. You know, look, these tests are no different. They're the same damn tests as they were in the 1900s. We know they discriminate purposely. They're used even to this day to hand out, as you say, punishments. I've been using this, you know, hand out consequences. They contribute to whether they're cutoff scores for graduation, whether you move on to third grade or not, the then long-term connection to research. By using that practice is that it's absolutely detrimental, and that disproportionately students of color and students of low resources are the ones who these are affected by time and time again. So what does opt-out allow then us to do together as a community? Is this the thing that brings something to a movement? Is this a movement starter?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I would say is I think that people in the opt-out movement should matter movement. When there's an instance of police brutality or an issue in the community that black people are organizing around, you know, it's important to reach out and ask how you can support and take leadership of black people who are struggling for their very lives in this country. and you know, support as you can, because I think forging connections between the two movements is going to be critical to being able to create an education system that's just, and more broadly a society built on social justice. And I think the opt-out movement is one of the most important ways to challenge the testocracy, to wrest it away from those who would use these tools developed by eugenicists to continue to punish students of color. And I think that there's been some incredible examples from around the country of black leadership and people of color taking the lead in the fight against high-stakes testing. So you only have to look at the students in Newark who occupied the superintendent's office in part to demand an end to the Park Common Core testing, right? Or the Baltimore Algebra Project that staged a die-in at the school board meeting not too long ago because of the school closures that are based on standardized testing. Right. I mean, you only have to look at the leadership that Karen Lewis, the president of the Chicago Teachers Union, an incredible black woman who's been leading one of the most important battles against corporate reform and high stakes testing, to know that people of color are aware of this long legacy of racism that the tests are being used to uphold and are rebelling. And I think it's unfortunate that some of the most prominent civil rights organizations have come out in support of annual testing and the new reauthorization of ESA, or the No Child Left Behind Act. I think it comes from a position of those organizations wanting to be able to document the long legacy of injustice in the public schools in terms of wanting to show that black students are being under-resourced, the English language learners and Latino students are being under-resourced. And I think that's important to be able to document that, but I don't think we can use a tool of the eugenicists to combat inequality. And I think there's lots of other measures that we need to look at when we're documenting the opportunity gap. We can look at graduation rates, right? We can look at college attendance rates. We can look at the funding that goes to students that serve schools that serve students of color being dramatically disproportionate to schools that serve white children. And we can say all of that is an outrage. And we need to build a new civil rights movement to honor, support, and empower our students of color rather than reduce their humanity to a test score.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I love everything you're saying, Jesse. You know, and we can question testing. We should question testing. Psychometricians are not educators. And schools should be a place of hope, right? It should be a place of hope and not a place of hopelessness. And this is everyone's struggle. And that's what I was very excited when I heard that we were going to interview you tonight, because bringing together opt-out and Black Lives Matter, I think, is a turning point. I really feel that. I feel like... activism is it's everyone's activism, and we are much stronger when we're together. And I'm just very hopeful. I hope I'm not being naive, but I am hopeful that things are turning.
No, I
it sounds like you're hopeful
and,
too.
But I know it's going to take some hard work.
Right.
I would say that you know, their power is in the billions of dollars they have, right? I mean, living in Seattle, I'm in Bill Gates's backyard, and he's funded every little AstroTurf organization to try to combat us. He's even gone so far as to buying the Seattle Times education reporting He now pays the salaries of the education reporters
wow.
in Seattle. So their power is in their dollars, and our power is in our numbers. But we really only have that united strength if we're building true solidarity. And I think the challenge for the opt-out movement is to not just say, I'm opting my kid out of this test because it's wrong for them. I think that's important, right?
Right.
I think it's important to opt your kid out because it's wrong for them, but I think it's also important to link your opt-out with a broader movement and with an anti-racist struggle and to join in fights for restorative justice, right? I think the opt-out movement needs to begin to look at how black students are being pushed out of school with disproportionate suspension rates. Here in Seattle, black kids are suspended at 4 times the rate of white students for the same infractions. And can you imagine if the opt-out movement here championed that cause to stand up for racial justice in the schools, then they would have a basis to forge a real alliance with black parents to build a united opt-out movement on the basis of racial equity. And so I think that's the challenge to the opt-out movement, to fight for things like ethnic studies and restorative justice, as well as against these high-stakes standardized tests. And that will create the unity and the broad numbers we will need to defeat the wealthiest people the planet has ever known.
Well, hey, Jesse, thank you for those words. I mean, we'll take a little bit of time, have Jed and I kind of wrap up and let you get back to your busy day that I know that you're having. Your words are inspiring. People are moving forward. And as you say, you know, me being one of the original, whatever, a founder of United Opt Out, people have been opting out forever. It's not that any one group claims it or owns it or anything, like you said, but the recognition that when I opt my children out, that it's not that I'm opting them out for them, but I'm opting out for a new vision,
right.
A new hope, a new dream in which, like as you said, restorative justice, culturally relevant curriculum, the fact that public
That's
education
right.
can be that equity, that base of democracy for all kids. That's what opt out in Black Lives Matter and all of these movements. And so, Jesse, for helping the listeners at Busted Pencils, you know, thanks a lot. When you hear some more, again, think of us. Here as always being an outlet for anything you want to get out to the people, because we are here to serve. And Jesse, you know, have a great evening. And I got a little
right
something
on,
to play
man.
For you before you leave, though. Check this out. I don't know if you heard it the
okay.
first time. Hey, man, just in honor of wanting to be one of the alumni at your school, right?
Yeah, and aren't you glad that Jimmy wasn't reduced to a test score and had his creativity killed? So,
there you go.
Absolutely.
Right
on,
you guys. Thanks,
right,
thanks for building
Take
the struggle,
easy,
and I'll talk
Pleasure
to you soon.
Pleasure to talk with you, Jesse.
All right.
All right, later, man.
Take care.
Take care.
So, Jed, there it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what I like about his message here is, he's not saying it's going to be easy.
No.
I mean, the challenge to the opt-out folks is to really take this to the next level. You know, it's about the meaning of school, a school that is a place of hope for everyone.
Right.
That's it, you know, and it's not just about looking after your child, as you said, too. And most opt-out people that I know get that.
Right.
You know?
I mean, understanding the first movement in the opt-out, and even Jesse said this, sometimes is your child.
Right.
You know, it's your child
right.
and that gets you going.
Right.
But when you recognize the depth of the situation, when you say, you know, the disproportionate number of students of color, students in poverty, English language learners, that are absolutely devastated by this culture of test and punish.
Right.
It then is way beyond your child. You know, and in fact, though, that's one of the things that makes opt-out extremely powerful is when you get that.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I've heard critics of opt-out, you know, say, hey, this is nothing but a white suburban,
yeah.
you know, we don't want your, I don't want your kid, I don't want my kid tested, you know, he gets anxious,
yeah.
you know, he's beyond that. And you go, no, hold on,
no.
you're taking away the power
yeah.
purposely when you say that. Because yeah. when you recognize, in fact, and say, look, who has lost music class? Who has lost art
right.
class? Who has lost recess? Let's go even further. If you're in Chicago, who has lost 50 schools?
Right.
Not middle-class white suburban people.
Right.
Okay? We're talking about under-resourced ethnic minorities, English language learners, the poor, children of color. This is what the testocracy, as Jesse said, has
right.
delivered
right.
in the name of equity.
Right. And that's why we need a new history. We need a more authentic history of testing, for example, and the role that psychometricians are playing in all of this. Because it sounds, as Jesse mentioned, it sounds so scientific and rational and
well, think about it here. We hear people here, right? And I'm jumping in and cutting you off, and I told you I probably would because I'd get passionate about this tonight. Is as though, you know, people will defend this.
Right.
That this is, if we don't do this, we'll never know.
Right.
Well, first of all, there's nothing more offensive to a teacher
yeah.
to say you need a test once
oh.
a year
right.
to see whether or not
right.
your kids are getting what they need. When the fact is, after my first year of teaching, after my first week in the classroom with those second graders, I knew which kids needed what. I didn't need
sure.
a test. I needed the resources.
Right.
I needed to not have 32 second graders in a single classroom
right.
all day long.
Exactly.
I needed books.
Yeah. There
you know?
There you go.
Don't tell me I needed a
yeah.
test
yeah.
once a year
yeah, you,
to tell me. That in fact, hides, and this is what Jesse talks about, and I've been making this clear now in the presentations that I give. If you've got an achievement gap
yeah.
that we can historically document that has not moved, in 20 years, and in those 20 years, we have done nothing but take resources away, do test and punish, do nothing else other than high-stakes testing, and yet that has not moved, not budged, then what we're doing keeps the achievement gap in place, and I'm going to say it now, on purpose. It's purposeful that we don't close the achievement gap
mm-hmm.
because we can.
Sure we can,
but we're never going to do it by continuing to do the same thing, which is test and punish, which takes tax dollars from the kids who need it, from the resources, funnels it into testing and data companies who then come back with the narrative that you have an achievement gap and teachers and schools and principals are the ones to blame for that achievement gap. Nonsense. 20 years of it, it's got to stop. That's why opt-out movement, Black Lives Matter, equal rights, people that are moving for a new civil rights movement have to be advocates for the restoration of public community schools that are bedrocks of democracy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sorry about that, but I had to get that rolling, man.
I think we should end with Jimmy.
You think we should?
I need Jimmy.
Well, just so as we're leaving, we'll leave on that closing. Make sure, thanks again for listening to the special episode of Busted Pencils. Check us out on BustedPencils.com where you can go and get this podcast once it's finished. Like every other podcast that's been done, you can get the professional show. Make sure if you're really looking at making sure that this show is heard across the country where it should be, that you're contacting mx2media.com. Follow the show on Twitter at @BustedPencils. Hey, check this out, too. Instagram, even. You can go to BustedPencils/official and check out the Instagram. Check out pictures of Jed and Tim. Now, they might not be the prettiest pictures because we definitely have faces that are made for radio. And last but not least, make sure you go to Trending News. If you want to get it, go to subscribe, sign up. You get Trending News twice a week so you always know what's happening. And you know what, Jed? I think you're right. Until next time, we say...
Bust those things.